Halala, welcome back to another episode of Real Problem with Chester Missing with me, a ball of latex on the internet. There was an attempted assassination on corruption-accused ANC member Brown Mokgotsi. Typical tenderpreneurs, not even their assassinations work out. The GNU finally met after a year and a half so they can plan. What have they been doing the entire time? What are you going to do next? Tell us your New Year's resolutions for 2024. We've had two commissions going on, and it's like a TV series. If you miss one episode, you come back and you have no idea what is going on. Someone is screwing their cousin. No, hang on. No, that's Game of Thrones. I'm kidding. Shadrach Sabir's not screwing his cousin. He's screwing all of us. And to explain it all, we've got one of South Africa's top political journalists. It's Tara Roos. So you work in Parliament?
I do work in Parliament. I am the parliamentary correspondent for the Business Day.
So you must have a PhD in smelling lies.
Somewhat, yes.
We also have one of my favorite South Africans as well. It's the hilarious Jam Jam. Can you see Jam? How's it, Jam Jam?
Yeah, all good, Chester.
Tara, is Police Minister Senzo Mkhunu corrupt or not after you've been watching this ad hoc committee for weeks?
Who in the ANC isn't corrupt? And I think that's a big question we need to answer South Africans. Do I think he's the most corrupt? Probably not. Do I think he is corrupt? Absolutely. That is undeniable.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think we still have to pay our TV license after all this?
Yes. The SABC doesn't have any money.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Like, it's a different...
Such a sellout.
It's a different entity.
Doesn't pay his TV license. Look at him.
No, I pay my TV license, but I'm a law-abiding citizen. But it's interesting that you say you don't... You say most people in ANC are corrupt.
I think I see this on the ground working in Parliament, but most South Africans feel the corruption of the ANC in their day-to-day lives. I think that it's quite laughable that, I mean, the president always comes out and he says, I'm so shocked. I'm shocked.
I know. Oh, and he says, I'm shocked. I had no idea. So I wish he walks with his head in his own ass.
Over that guy, right? Every day, oh, I'm shocked. And you're like, no, my guy, what country are you living in? No, you can't say you're shocked. You know exactly what's happening. This is how you get the information. People brief you as often as, like, you're probably the most briefed person in the
Doesn't
country.
He get security yep. briefings, Tara?
He does. He gets security
so
briefings
see, Jeff,
daily.
So you see, Jeff, he just literally gets security briefings, ignoring them. I don't know what,
yeah,
does he read them?
I'm sure.
I don't work in the PSD.
No, he so doesn't read them. He hasn't read a security briefing since 2008.
I think the thing that has helped Cyril Maposa thus far. I mean, look, he was the deputy president under Zuma, so that gave him some plausible deniability when looking at the extent of state capture. And that's why when he came in 2019, a lot of people believed him when he said he was going to bring this era of renewal. But I mean, now Cyril is in a position where there is no deniability. Dirty money that has gone through Senzo Mkhunu's hands, Cyril Maposa knew about it because Senzo Mkhunu was the campaign manager for his CR17 campaign to get him elected. He was the police minister under Cyril Maposa. This idea that Cyril Maposa knew absolutely nothing. I mean, you can even make the argument that Senzo Mkhunu was the golden child of the ANC to become the next president. He was next in line under Cyril's faction in the ANC. So this idea that Cyril is shocked, I don't know where it comes
He's
from.
He's just an Unamanga lying scoundrel, couch potato, bastard. There are a lot of characters, Tara. Let's start off explaining to people who haven't been listening. Who is Dumisani Khumalo? Who is Shadrach Sabir? And why are they important?
So the long and the short of it, the main character in this is Lieutenant General Mkhunazi. He had come forward on that infamous July press conference to say, there was this team called the Political Killing Stars team. It was unlawfully disbanded, and this is an issue for South Africa. So we have Fani Masemola, the national commissioner. So he is the head of SAPS.
Yep.
Then you have Shadrach Sabir. He was formerly in the city of Joburg. He was also at SAPS. And then you have General Khumalo, who worked with Lieutenant General Mkhunazi. You also have Senzo Mkhunu, former Minister of Police.
Got it.
So essentially, the central conflict comes in as, what is the duty of the Minister of Police? What oversight does he have? What is the oversight of the National Commissioner? And who could disband the Political Killings Task Team? Constitutionally speaking, the minister doesn't have the powers to do that. But the minister had come forward and said, I disbanded the Political Killing Stars team. And he had stated that he did this openly. He has absolutely no regrets. He himself said in the other committee he acted alone. This then brings in the question, what is the oversight role of the minister? Because SAPS falls under the Minister of Police, but the National Commissioner is the head of SAPS. And so there brings into this question is, what is overstepping? You have Shadrach Sabir coming out, who, I mean, reports just leaked today that one of his protectors has been linked to criminal syndicates. And he used to be in the city of Joburg, and he was infamously let go like 4 times because of corruption. And somehow he just got back
it's in. It's absurd.
Into a higher position of power.
Like, he came back better off. Isn't that insane?
The more corruption you do, the better off you are, bro.
And what is really...
You sound like you know that, like, from experience. The level of confidence you said that with was exceptional. Because this week, Tara, Dumisani Khumalo threw Shadrach Sibiya under the bus, then drove the bus back over him, and now parked the bus on top of him. What happened?
So Shadrach Sibiya is in a really... uncomfortable position. Look, honestly, it's in my personal
I have a hand
view.
In my ass, so that's a very relative.
I would argue.
But then again, you work at Business Dice. You know what it's like.
Hey.
I'm joking. Keep going.
I love my job. Please don't fire me. But I think that Shadrach Sibiya is in a very difficult position because he's openly lying to the South African public, and we can tell that he's lying. And I find it quite interesting that he is just... been fired into higher positions of office. Something that was really interesting that came out in the commission, and the ANC tried to position it as that Shadrach Sibiya was almost in bed with Herman Mashaba. But Shadrach Sibiya served under two...
I would like to see that porn video.
He served
under... Who's your hair products? Black like me harder.
That would be on ETV.
Late night ETV. Emmanuel with Shadrach Sibiya.
A lot of people are talking about the fact that he served in... the city of Joburg under Herman Mashaba. But no one is talking about the fact that he was also there under Umpo Palatse. Shadrach Sibiya was under 2 DMAs. Oh, and wow. I think that that is something that is like...
No one points that out. I didn't know that. I literally just learned that fact now.
Yeah, under 2 DMAs. And it was very contentious because when he was under Umpo Palatse in the city of Joburg, that was when that whole contention of he was let go from SAPS, but then they were letting him back in because the court case got dismissed. And it was an entire kerfuffle. And the city of Joburg had openly come out and defend Shadrach Sibiya. And so the DA has actually been largely quiet.
So the
quiet.
DA defended Shadrach Sibiya while he was being a scumbag. Now they want to act like we had no idea. It's all the ANC. Wow.
The DA's government in the city of Joburg defended Shadrach Sibiya. This was circa 2023. So actually not that long ago when you think about
That's
it.
That's just the other day.
Yeah.
Stretch a liar, find a thief. Man.
Well, but you see what I'm saying? He's just so confident with these sayings. It's like he's experienced. I'm scratching a liar, find a thief. It sounds dirty too. But listen, my favorite this week were the pictures of Shadrach Sibiya's underling with a big paper bag, and Dumisani Khumalo at the committee is acting like he doesn't know what was in the paper bag. Yeah. He's like, oh, it could be chocolates. It's not chocolates, Dumisani Khumalo. It's money. What's wrong with you?
It is money. And I think I'm a firm believer in democratic processes, and a lot of people have come out when Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi originally had his press conference and said, why didn't the president just fire the Minister of Police? And if he had gone forward with that, we wouldn't have gotten any of these answers. Do I think that a lot of this are convenient and politically corrected half-truths? Yes. I don't think that we are getting the full story just yet. But I think things take time. And I know a lot of South Africans will say, you know what, look what happened with the Zondo Commission. We spent about R1 billion on that commission.
Yep.
Zuma is still roaming free on the streets. So are all of his cronies. And we got no justice of the South African public.
Burkina Faso right
Zuma. Hang on, Jacob Zuma's in Burkina Faso right now.
Right now.
I can't.
No.
Is he too sick for jail?
No, that's AI.
Is it AI?
That image is AI.
Oh, okay. Wow, that is a good AI.
This was IQ test. Yeah, thank God we have actual journalists.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
This guy falls for anything.
He saw a picture of giraffes on the moon. Alan Iverson levels of AI. I was fooled.
Zuma isn't in Burkina Faso right now.
Does the fire pool exist?
No.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, the fire pool.
There's no fire pool.
There's no fire.
Oh my God, my entire belief in this reality is broken.
You see,
collapsed.
We both don't know.
But that is not the fault of the Zondo Commission. The Zondo Commission completed its mandate. That's the fault of the National Prosecuting Authority. And so I think a lot of people don't really understand what the separation of government is. I mean, a lot of people confuse the commission with the ad hoc committee. They're two separate things.
Yeah.
And what will come out of the commission and what will come out of the ad hoc committee, again, are two separate things and will lead to two separate outcomes. The ad hoc committee is extremely important for legislative changes. The president cannot decide we are going to fully restructure SAPS. That is a decision that needs to come through parliament. It needs to be an amendment to the Policing Act and how we structure the government. And so everything does have its place. And I know that a lot of South Africans are frustrated to say, you know what, this is a waste of time and a waste of money, but it is very important because we need those democratic processes in place. I think if you want to direct HR there anyway, it needs to go to the National Prosecuting Authority. Shamela Pitoy has been terrible at her job.
Has she?
Absolutely
because
terrible.
You know the impression I got? Listen, man, I've met her. This full disclosure, I've met her and I quite liked her. But the problem with Shamila Batoy is she came into a thing where, I mean, look at that Chauke guy who was the head of the NPA in Joburg. And then she couldn't fire this guy who's openly doing a cuck job. She could. It's imagine Jam Jam was cuck at his job and then I couldn't fire him. not like I'm paying him anyway, so I can't.
Hey, we're nominated in the same category.
I know, so I know.
I can't be that guy.
At the Timu Saftis. But I mean, didn't she walk into a situation where it was impossible for Shamila Batoy to do her job? Or do you think she still has failed?
I think that she has failed. Do I think that there are a lot of circumstances in place that have made her job difficult? Yes. But if you cannot do your job, then leave. I don't understand why she's collecting a state salary and not being able to fulfill her role. You could make the argument that, you know what, she's in a very difficult position or her life could be in danger. We've seen how political killings happen in South Africa. And I completely agree. But Shamila Batoy has state security. Yeah. She has protectors. This idea that she is this completely helpless individual who is put in this difficult position. She's the head of the National Prosecuting Authority. The fact that we have not seen one single state capture conviction happen, I think it's absolutely laughable.
It's spectacular failure on behalf of our justice system.
We have
spectacular.
We have state capture court cases getting thrown out of court because they haven't submitted the right paperwork. Like, they're not a startup law firm. This is the National.
No, it's the National Prosecuting Authority. The fucking madness. It's like it's like the head of SABC forgetting to pay their TV license.
Yeah.
Listen, we love General Mkhwanazi. We do love him because he opened all these, like a Zulu superhero. Shame. Do other people have a superhero?
Yeah, Wakanda Forever.
Oh, lies! Lies! You've got Bantu Holomisa is what you've got.
What language do you think you were speaking in Black Panther?
Oh, please, they just appropriate. That was cultural appropriation by some Americans.
That was Kosa.
Oh, my God, they're Wakanda. Where in the Eastern Cape is Wakanda?
We can't tell you.
Oh, my God.
It's a secret.
It's not outside King William's.
It's a secret among Kosa people, but I've seen Wakanda. I've seen all the things that they are to see at Wakanda, and yeah.
Is that where you left your wardrobe for today? In your room in Wakanda.
Chester. Yeah, you're having a go at me today.
No, but I love you. That's why you're here.
Do you think Mkhwanazi's, will to get all this information out is out of him wanting to do his job properly? Or do you think there is any influence or, you know, sort of some people sort of influencing him?
Is he corrupt? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
That's a great question, Jam Jam.
I've got a lot of hate on the internet for saying this before.
Oh, then say it. This is where the hate comes.
We love hate.
We're ready for it. We'll take those trolls on foot. Going down, Taurus. Say it.
And this is not me, I think, making any allegations against General Mkhwanazi, but just as someone who has listened to the testimony and followed the commission and the Adult Committee very closely, I do think that there are certain inconsistencies in his story. And I'm not saying that he's wrong. Look, is there corruption? Absolutely. Yes. Do I think that he did this out of, like, he just woke up one day and he had an epiphany and he was like, I need to inform the South African public? No. I think that General Mkhwanazi saw what was going to happen. Fanie Masemola was going, his tenure as National Commissioner was going to end, and he saw Shajak Sibiya most likely going to be promoted to become National Commissioner, and he didn't want that to happen. And I think, and look, Shajak Sibiya said this in the Adult Committee, and it's probably one of the only truthful things that he said, is that he thinks that in his personal view, because Mkhwanazi was acting commissioner, he saw that Sibiya was going to become commissioner once Fanie Masemola left, even though Sibiya himself said that he had no intentions of campaigning himself to be National Commissioner. If the job was offered to him, he would take it. And he thinks, in Shajak Sibiya, what he had said in the Adult Committee was that, you know what, he thinks that Mkhwanazi himself wants to be National Commissioner. And I think that there might be a little bit of truth to that. A little bit of truth there.
I'm sure there's truth to that.
And I don't, and this is not to say that it makes anything that Mkhwanazi has said invalid. I think Mkhwanazi saw, you know what, I have been, because I mean, he's a lifelong career politician, not politician, policeman. And so...
Lies! Freudian slip. He was there wearing a beret like his EFF lights.
He's a career policeman. And I think to him, he was like, you know what? I have stood by and kept quiet for so long, seeing these unlawful processes happening, seeing this corruption happening. I'm finally going to speak the truth. But I think it's quite telling. I mean, he said that in the Zuma era, that was the most political interference he had ever seen in his entire life. But we didn't get a press conference from him.
No.
We didn't.
No.
When Nadim Tetwa,
that is such a nail. When that is such a burn.
When Nadim Tetwa was police minister, Mkhwanazi had said that was the most political interference he had ever seen happening from the police ministry. And there was absolutely nothing coming from General Mkhwanazi. So why not speak up then? And you can make the argument that he would have been silenced. You can make the argument that, you know what, like Shamila Batoy, all these things were happening to him. But I think General Mkhwanazi has appeared before the Portfolio Committee on Police on multiple occasions. He was there in March of this year. He was back again in April. Why not bring it forward in the Portfolio Committee? Why not go to the Portfolio Committee Chairman, Ian Cameron? Why not speak to the President directly? And so I think that South Africans love this idea of a political hero. And they love to paint everyone. You're either a villain or you're a hero. You're either good or bad. And I think that politics is very nuanced in that good people can also do bad things. Bad people can also do good things. And I think that, and it is in my personal view, and again, like, this is not me throwing out an allegation. I think it's just looking at the situation realistically. You cannot get as high up in the SAPS as General Mkhwanazi has, have seen as many things as he is now coming to tell us, and not yourself have gotten your hands dirty in some capacity. I think it would be illogical for us to sit here and believe and talk about General Mkhwanazi as this ultimate superhero, and this idea that no one can say any form of criticism or question anything that he said. I mean, he has spoken about multiple phone calls, text messages, none of which he can produce evidence for. Does it mean that it hasn't happened? Absolutely not. But I just think we need to look critically at the situation, because this idea that now General Mkhwanazi is some superhero who is going to save us from the corruption of the ANC and the SAPS, it's just not true.
They're almost painting him like in a Batman type.
Yeah.
Yes, he's like the Zulu Batman. That's what he is.
Zulu Man.
Mkhwanazi. Yeah, Zulu Man.
I'm sure there's a rapper probably called Zulu Man.
There has to be.
Trying to drop his mixtape.
There's a musician called Zulu Boy.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah,
it's kind of racist. I've met him. He's a huge Jacob Zuma fan, ironically. Even though he sounds like he himself is demeaning himself like old white. No, he's a Zulu boy. He's 58, yeah, but that's why I call him. Listen, just to be clear to people watching the podcast, these are the opinions of Tara Roos. You can find her on the internet at Tara Roos. Mkhwanazi's a sellout. No, I'm joking. It's very important, Tara, that you say this stuff, because we have people like Jam Jam in South Africa who believe any AI image they see of Jacob Zuma in Burkina Faso. No, he's there.
These AI things, but this one dribbled me. I'll take that on the chin, Chester.
Listen, what do we know so far about the cartel that is running our police force, and why do they call them the Big Five?
So the Big Five is supposed to refer to these criminal syndicates this kind of criminal syndicate that is operating inside the police force. And we don't really know much about the Big Five. I mean, we've heard very differing accounts from Fani Masemola, Senzo Mkhunu, General Mkhwanazi about how political actors operate and the criminality in the SAPS. Again, it's one of those things, like, in the manner that, like, we all know there are big political donors to various political parties. I think it would be, you can't really look at crime in South Africa and not rationalize the fact that there are these Big Five cartels. Who these individuals are and how this is influencing ANC politics, we really have to see more evidence of this come forward. I mean, we saw Fikile Mbalula say that, you know what, members of the ANC have been captured by criminals. And
how insane is that? Like, we've known for years, we had the whole Zondo Commission, newspaper article after newspaper article in the Business Day, and suddenly Fikile is, no, there are some that are corrupt. No lie. Where have you been hiding, Fikile? In your freaking Gucci pajamas?
I was watching an interview with Sizwe, Paul Walsh, and Tokyo Sokwara. He says this, you know, criminals interacting or getting favors from ANC people goes back to the apartheid struggle.
Yeah.
So there's long been this mix of ANC and criminality and looking the other way as long as they achieve their objectives as the ANC. So this is obviously now it's just getting more and more.
Yeah.
And it's being publicized, but this is a long history of the ANC, of them being involved with criminal, so, yeah, with those people who are criminals.
It's kind of racist, Jam Jam. No, it's kind of racist. Oh, the black people hang out with criminals. It's kind of racist. No, so, what do you think it's kind of racist for?
I mean, look, so were the white people. Yeah, that's so true.
They were doing exactly. That's where
but
they
got
the idea. Literally for voot. Yeah. So I guess that you saying it, white guy, that was racist of you. There we go. That was like a racism.
I knew I was
a racism circle.
Thank you very much.
You are racist. You're wearing a Springbok hat.
Oh, man.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But why don't we have the final set of names? Why has it taken so long to work out who we're actually talking about here? It's all vagaries. Why aren't our politicians demanding clear answers?
No one wants to give us clear answers because they think that a lot of people are trying to protect themselves. And we saw this with everyone who has now come before the ADHOC committee and before the commission, is that everyone tells a very similar story, but the inconsistencies are in manners to protect themselves. No one talks about what they've done, what they've said, who they've interacted with. And you see this and how it is really being portrayed in the public eye is that everyone is trying to save themselves from prison. That is ultimately where we're
literally
heading now. Everyone. Like, wow. Everyone is involved in some capacity. And I think this all goes back to the president. And that is who we really need to hear from. Is that I really don't, I'm not particularly interested if like Senzo Mkhwana knows Brian Mokgosi, and apparently he doesn't, not even as a comrade. But I want to know what is the president's involvement in this, because the president being named by almost every single witness coming before the committee and before the commission, like, it's we should find it deeply concerning. And I think when you like ask this question, oh, like, how can you just be labeled as a controversial businessman? It's because no one can give us a clear-cut answer. I mean, we are having national reporting on this controversial businessman, like, surviving an assassination attempt. Like,
yes.
Who is this
what
man?
Is that,
who is this man? We don't know this man.
Those
like,
assassins are very bad. As
they're competent, aren't they?
Yeah.
You can see they're the ones providing stuff to hospitals.
Yeah, they must have been
screwing that up too.
By ANC people, by the
yeah.
way.
You know, it's the ANC when not even the assassination goes through properly. Why has the president not been called to the ad hoc committee or Madlanga commission? Why are politicians so pathetic?
So the committee operates a bit differently to the commission. So the committee is made up of representatives of various political parties. So the committee initially, when they were picking a chair, Julius Malema's name had come forward and he had declined the nomination because he knew he wasn't going to win. So in the committee, it's stacked with the GNU. So the ANC and the DA hold the largest amounts of seats, and then followed up by that is MK and then the EFF. And so I think it's very unlikely that the president will be called before the ADHOC committee. I don't think that even the DA members will vote to have the president come before the ADHOC committee, because they had finished their original, their in the original terms of reference, they had called six original witnesses. Those six witnesses have already testified, and they've now moved on to an additional seven. And so they had an opportunity to add the president's name there, and they didn't take it. And I don't think that it's very likely that the president will come before the committee. He could come voluntarily. He could say, you know what, I want to tell the South African public my truth. That's not going to happen.
You think he's going to do that,
yeah?
You think he'll ever do that?
No, he hates accountability. Cyril Ramaphosa hates accountability.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
Appear.
Almost as much as he hates actually putting money in the bank.
He could come before the commission. I think that's a likelihood. But again, like, I mean, Thabo Mbeki got called before the Zondo commission, and all Thabo Mbeki said was, I don't recall.
Oh my God.
That's all he said. He was like, people had asked him, like,
did you deal with this cock? I don't recall. Of course you don't recall. Like a white lady having to explain what happened during apartheid. Like Gary Player explaining what he was doing in the late 60s. Oh, I don't remember supporting apartheid. Okay, Futsak, okay. Shut up, Gary Player. Did you see that cuck where he said we must cancel BE?
I did.
Just disgusting.
Give me 5 more years before we cancel BE.
Oh my God.
Give me five good years to see if I
Jam
can
Jam sort, wants a gap.
Yeah, before I can sort myself out. If I don't sort myself out with 5 years, then we cancel.
Tara, don't you know any of these criminals who've come to the committee? Maybe Shadrach can set him up with a tender, because that Vusi Musikat Matlala obviously doesn't have the hospital, the medical tender for the priest. Maybe he can get it. Look at him. He's going to fill out a tender form.
I think
he's black.
Yeah.
Don't let the Springbok hat
last
throw
time
you
I, don't, last time I checked that black, dark and lovely.
I don't know. You might just be a very well-tanned guy from London.
Oh, Chester, no.
So listen, Tara, this thing that these DA politicians in particular won't call the president, and the ANC politicians too, quite frankly, isn't that just state capture? This is insane. The commission and the committee itself look like they're captured. That's like Glade having a shit-flavored air freshener. It does absolutely fuck all.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's captured, but look, I think the DA...
Because they won't... Let me explain why I'm asking, okay, so you can answer. The reason they won't call the president is partly because they are now in with the GNU. That John Steenhuisen's job relies on them not shaking the GNU boat too much. So they won't call onto accountability their principal because they're basically the fourth part of the tripartite alliance.
I think the DA's positioning right now, for me personally, I just don't understand. I mean, we're a year into the GNU. There have been many instances where I thought that the GNU could have called for a motion of confidence against President Cyril Ramaphosa, and they haven't. So the EFF has openly come out to say, the DA brings forward a motion of confidence, we will vote with the DA for this motion to pass. We will not help the DA elect a new president, but we believe that Cyril Ramaphosa is unfit to hold office. The DA had brought 5 motions of no confidence against President Zuma, knowing that they were going to fail. So in an opportunity to have a motion of no confidence when you know it will pass, but rather escaping accountability, because in the DA's mind, they're saying, you know what, we don't want to get rid of Cyril because while he might be bad at his job, we don't want Paul Mashatile. And to a certain extent, I can understand that argument because that is what is going to retain their voter base, because their voters don't want Paul Mashatile.
Did you see the meeting, the secret meeting that they had this weekend?
Hey, man, yeah, that looked like a good time, man.
What the hell was it?
That looked like a pre-December get.
Oh, that's what they're starting.
Yeah, they're planning their December holiday. That looked like a planning committee.
It's definitely a planning committee for drinks and of course when you December for the ANCs, of course, when you cancel political killings task teams, isn't it? 31st of December is the day you do that, isn't it, Tom?
So it was a GNU leaders who cheat. It was at the cradle of humankind. Why this happened a year in, I'm not particularly sure. To answer your question, I agree. I think that the DA has to a certain extent gotten comfortable. But I think for the DA, they know that if they elect Paul Mashatile, the DA is gone, because the RET faction in the ANC will rise and they will most likely go into a coalition with the ANC or MK. But I really do beg the question, like, what is a means to an end? Because I think the DA will come out and say, you know what, we're doing what is in the best interest for the country and what we think is will bring the most stability for government. But then when do we hold the ANC accountable? Because that is what the DA had campaigned on for 20 years when they were the opposition.
Yep.
Is that we are here to hold the ANC accountable. So where is the accountability now? I thought the GNU retreat was really interesting. Like when they had released that picture, I was like, where are the women?
There are no women.
That was my first
question. There are no women in the GNU
leadership.
It's like
lads on tour kind of vibe.
It was. Old lads as well.
Only the gents can go on this tour. That's what
it's finally the men's meeting happened.
Yeah.
Why it happened a year into the GNU, like, I don't know. And what I think is really odd is, I mean, time and time again, every political party had to come out to say, you know what, no one has a majority, the GNU is ruling government. We haven't heard from the GNU not once. The GNU had a press conference to say, these are the policy issues that we are working towards. This is a progress report of the GNU. They haven't communicated to us as the public, as an entity. But we hear different political parties coming out, kind of claiming different wins for different sectors of government. But they are always contradicting views coming from every political party in the GNU. And so they haven't really worked together as this government of national unity. And so it's just really a mess.
It's ridiculous. The GNU is for and against BEE. The GNU is for and against expropriation of land. The GNU has the Freedom Front and the PAC pretending to get along. That's like having a nunnery and a sex shop in the same building. I always thought Freedom Front Plus sounded like a type of condom. Freedom Front Plus. It's like Lovers Plus for the poor. Isn't this just the ANC getting all their opposition to just acquiesce and be on board with their bullshit?
I think that in a coalition, so firstly, I don't think that it's a GNU. I think that it's an ANC and DA coalition. And I think every other political party there is just as decoration. But I think it is natural for coalition partners to disagree. And there are many things that the DA and the ANC agree on. I think that on paper, when you look at the DA and the ANC, they agree on a lot of things. I think that there are just these large scale issues that they disagree on. My contention to that is, though, this should have been worked out before the time. The GNU has a statement of intent about how they're supposed to deal with their issues that hasn't been implemented. The DA had campaigned on this idea that if the EFF or MK had come into government, it would be a complete and total collapse, that we would have this doomsday coalition. But what has the GNU done for the South African public? We've seen 1% economic growth. We have 1% economic growth on a 40% unemployment rate. Like, it's almost a 60% youth unemployment rate. So we look at, like, what is the socioeconomic state of this country? It is deeply concerning to see that the government at large cannot get its shit together.
We've run out of time. let's end on this. If Ramaphosa goes to the ad hoc or state capture committee, what do you want to ask him?
Do you know Brown Mahotsi?
Oh.
Question number one. Do
is
you
that
know
main question?
Do you know Kat Mthala, and to what extent is your involvement with them? Like, that would be question number one. Question number two would be, did you know about the disbandment of the PKTT? And what is your view on that? Like, that would be my two most pertinent questions to the president.
Can I tell you my questions?
Yeah.
I'd ask him, listen, puppet to puppet, Cyril Ramaphosa, when you're done being president, will Johann Rupert put you back in the suitcase? Oh, burn in your face. You guys were fantastic guests. Thank you very much for coming through, Tara. You were a genius, absolutely wonderful guest. And you, Jam Jam, you did what you could. It's been great having you. Please like, share, and subscribe. This was Real Problem with Chester Missing. I'll see you guys later. Bye. Futsack.